This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I find it disconcerting.
There will be an appropriate time and a place to review policy.
What does this rapporteur even do?
The liberals and conservatives want to play a political game and score points.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
You're actually sharing half of the story.
Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, 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 yeah. Lies, 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 yeah.
Protesters in Ottawa were heard chanting, among other things, long live October 7th, and October 7th is proof that we are almost free. Is this hate speech?
I wasn't in Ottawa over the weekend, and I'm not aware of those specific reports, and so it would be just wrong of me to comment on something that I am not specifically aware of.
Good grief. Good grief. I wasn't in Ottawa, and there's no televisions anywhere, or phones, or light, or energy. I was in a cave in the tundra. Okay. Didn't see it. That crazy answer from Chrystia Freeland, who was asked, you know, what do you have to say about these big protests in Ottawa where they're basically saying, October 7th, let's do it again and again and again and again. I wasn't there. I don't know. Didn't see it. Tom Korski was managing editor of Black Locks Reporter. Good morning to you.
Morning, Alex. And she was asked that by a Jewish reporter.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, she only had 7 months to come up with an answer.
Low situational awareness, there's no doubt. Ms. Freeland and the entire cabinet have a problem, Alex. They've made a calculation. Everything is politics.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a calculation that October 7th and these street protests are an issue that you can treat in a political way on account of there's 1.7 million Muslims in Canada, and we're in a pre-election run-up. And so that they've decided you can do it. Well, as the Minister of Foreign Affairs famously said, we don't want to pick sides, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've made a miscalculation. I think they're wrong. I think that this is one of those rare moments. It does happen, but it's not unprecedented, where Canadians have an expectation that there will be a frank expression of moral repugnance when confronted with street protests celebrating the killing and kidnapping of Jews. That doesn't seem complicated, unbelievably complicated to the Minister of Finance when asked that question by a Jewish reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Well, it is. And look, I saw this in Ottawa over the weekend and I had nothing. Hey, look, it's happening all the time. So I'm like, okay, another day of this. But it was in their faces in Ottawa. It's hard to ignore the Prime Minister kind of coming out with this terse language saying, you know, there's a difference between protest and what this is, and it's not okay. But again, what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do about it? None of them will do anything about it, right?
They've been given a clear path by MPs, all-party recommendation of the Commons Justice Committee. Get yourself a task force right now. Get it done. Never mind tweets. Get yourself a task force, and you get out there, and you come up with a plan within short days on how you're going to deal with this.
Mm.
And Cabinet ignored that.
Mm.
Because they do have this sense that if, you know, this is raw.
Hey, that Jew hates a real winner. Let's go with that.
You know, let's be frank.
Yeah.
The number of Muslim electors in Canada outnumber Jews by about 5-1. Problem, the number of Christian electors in Canada outnumber Muslims about 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sense, this is shown in pre-election surveys, there is a sense of repulsion about what happened on October 7th that is going to make it very difficult for Cabinet to hang on to this minority. And but you're right, they've made this calculation, and I guess they're going to sit with it. But to have that response from a person who aspires to be prime minister of a G7 country, that does not inspire confidence.
Well, especially when the links of her family, her mom with Ukraine, right? She knows what Nazism, and her grandfather, who was accused of Nazism, she understands it probably better than most.
Well, you know, if you're a member of parliament and you're asked by a Jewish reporter, hey, do you think someone chanting a slogan in celebration of the killing of Jews is hate speech? Do you really need to focus group that? Do you need to consult your political aides on how to answer that kind of question? Because if you do, how is it you are going to deal with the really hard stuff like Putin or the deficit? The problem.
I see the problem. Yes. Well, she did tweet out after the fact. She watched it
hours later. Yeah, hours later, someone had to explain it to her. This is a Rhodes Scholar, Alex. It doesn't add up. So this is all politics. How many times have we said that? Yeah. Everything is politics all the time with this cabinet. Only sometimes, you know what? Life throws you a curveball. Old Russian saying, sometimes sparks fly up in life, and you never know when it's going to happen. And then we find out something about you.
True, true. Meanwhile, parliamentary critics should be forbidden from calling the prime minister corrupt. This according to Government House Leader Mark Garrison, who, when he takes to Twitter, is nothing but offensive as a sitting MP. But go ahead. We're not allowed to raise the C word in Parliament now.
God bless Deputy House Leader Garrison. He's a real...
He's a real peach, isn't he?
This guy is cold. He's absolute cold. He is a real character, and he did, with a straight face, said he wanted the speaker to ban the use of the adjective corrupt. He said, I'm getting tired. It's been done a number of times. I'm quoting him accurately, Alex. It's been done a number of times, he said, referring to the prime minister as corrupt and to the government as corrupt. And he questioned whether the use of that word is appropriate. By the way, we looked up Hansard, the official transcription of House debates. You'll never guess what year the adjective corrupt first appeared in House of Commons debates. Well, it was 1867.
Well, you know, he's hoping he can get off those back benches by the time maybe they get voted out, right?
This is a great Canadian tradition. It's a July 1st tradition, as Canadian as fireworks and hot dogs, calling your government corrupt.
I know.
And Mark Garrison has had enough. He's putting his foot down on this.
Well, I can understand. Look, you got to give us something to play with, right? Don't take corruption away from us, because it just they all get accused of it. And then you've got this, this interesting. Well, it's budget related, but you know, they decide that they're going to put in this capital gain taxes. And it was a surprise pretty much to everyone, except mostly to the guy who has to mind all the pennies and dollars. That's the budget officer, Yves Giroux. So they weren't really, I guess he wasn't in the loop on this?
No, and this is why it upsets the budget office. This was the famous increase in the capital gains inclusion rate, a substantial increase from half of capital gains will be taxable to two-thirds. That's a lot of money. This is... sale of assets outside of a primary residence. It's a vacation. It's stocks and bonds. It's a small business. Whatever. You're now going to be taxed on two-thirds of your capital gains, but only effective June 25th. And there's been a lot of talk about this application in the budget. And here's the budget officer telling MPs he was surprised by that, because, of course, the obvious implication is you're trying to prompt a rush sale, forced sale of capital gains in Canada, so that Minister Freeland can make her budget look better going into the next election. What's the problem with that? Well, the problem with that is that's a hell of a way to run the nation's finances, right? We don't really kind of fudge the numbers. So you can make it look good just going into the polling booth. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have a little more solidity than that. And he said, budget officer, telling the finance committee, this is not a good look.
It's not a good look. Well, yeah, he's probably got the hardest job there on the Hill, because it's always very difficult. But I guess we'll see. Just quickly, though, do you think, the Bloc has said they're not going to vote for this budget. We know the Conservatives aren't. The capital gains might be an issue even for NDP voters. So what does Jagmeet do?
I think there will be an election. I don't think it's going to be an election this week.
Not this week. Okay, that's good.
I think it's going to be after Labor Day, Alex.
Maybe, yeah. I sooner than later, all right? Sooner than later.
It's not going to be 2025. I've been wrong so many times, I don't even know why anyone listens to me. But it's inconceivable to me that this that this is going to go on for another year and a half.
I agree. Totally agree. I think people will go nuts. But what do I know? I'm wrong, too. Tom, we'll talk again. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.